You have found authentic business adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. My name is James Kademan, and we are with Victoria Thomas over at Kelly Moss Motorsports. I'm super excited. This is locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. And I got to tell you, Victoria, this is amazing.
Not a bad place to hang out,
you
is it?
You cannot look anywhere and not say, holy cow, this is amazing. So how about we just start with what is Kelly Moss Motorsports?
Sure. At Kelly Moss, we are currently campaigning 26 race cars in four different series all over the United States. Usually we include Canada, but not quite yet.
Oh,
not
yeah,
this
they're
year,
locked
a little
up a little
COVID.
Bit. Yeah.
So we campaign the cars in different race series for our drivers. And in addition, within these walls, we have about 120 Porsche car builds happening.
Holy, 120.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
See, you can hear them.
Yeah, right? There's action going on.
Yeah, happening right this minute.
You know, it's funny. Just, I was thinking as I was walking around the parking lot, I'm like, this is a fun business, but in the end, it's still business.
Yep, that's
so
very
it doesn't
true.
Matter how much fun it is, stuff, there's still money coming in, money going out.
Yep.
Employees, action happening.
Yes.
So what do you do at Kelly Moss here?
So I am the CFO and one of the owners here at Kelly Moss.
Nice.
My role is primarily fiscal.
Okay.
I'm involved in all things money.
All right. That's the important part.
Yeah, exactly. So my husband does design and engineering, and he oversees the projects. And so he's the one that the customers love because
right.
he comes up with all the fun ideas.
Oh, nice.
And then I send them the bills.
All right. Oh, Victoria. Have to pay for this fun?
Right, exactly.
Interesting. So how long have you guys been around?
So Kelly Moss has been around since 1988.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, running Porsche race cars that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been with the company for 10 years.
All right.
And I primarily came in to help them. I owned an accounting firm, and my job was to help them determine the profitability of each of their departments.
All right.
So here at Kelly Moss, we have our race shop where we just service race cars.
Mm-hmm.
We have the track events where we take our team out and service clients on the track. In addition to that, we have a body shop.
All right.
And we have our street shop where if you had a Camry, in theory, you could get your oil changed, but typically it's not daily drivers that we service here if you walk through. So they just had wanted to determine the profitability, and it was a mutual love affair, and here I am 10 years later.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So did you determine, is race more profitable, or is body, or the Camry oil changes? I would guess not so much.
You know, actually the street shop is great in terms of, you know, just speaking to the business owners that are out there. Oftentimes, what you find is the stuff that you might be less excited about.
Mm-hmm.
People, in theory, would enjoy the racing and the huge multi-million dollar projects.
Right.
Our street shop is our steady cash flow.
Oh, nice.
Week over week, our project builds happen, the billings happen once a month. So they're great for my cash flow. I'm a big fan of our street shop, and we've got a great guy, Patrick, now running it, doing a fantastic job. So my determination actually was that our track events were at best break even.
Oh, wow.
But everybody loved the association with the company because we were champions.
All right.
So it was, you know, we have worked now into a model where we are making profit on our track events.
Mm-hmm.
But originally, it was, you know, your typical loss leader.
Oh, so essentially more for marketing or branding.
Yeah, and it was why people knew us and why people fell in love with us. And let's be honest, if we take a car out to the racetrack, there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be some damage that needs to be repaired.
Very good chance.
Which will feed into some of our other departments.
Gotcha. Fair.
Yeah.
I want to talk about employees.
Yes.
Because with any business, employees are going to come into play. And with something like this, you're talking high-end cars, talking racing, where a tiny mistake can be make a very bad day.
Yes.
So how do you find employees? How do you train employees? Just walk us through that whole thing.
So we have 60 employees that dwell 60. Here in this building. And then we have another 30 subcontracted employees that meet us at the racetrack. So 90 all together, and we bring in talent from all over the world.
Really? Okay.
We do, yeah. Our job is to be the best of the best,
mm-hmm.
and we need to employ the best people.
Right.
So really often we're talking about word of mouth referrals.
Okay.
Have to have an incredible amount of experience. You have to be very level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be incredibly meticulous, and you have to fit into this culture. So we are very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, sort of casual in terms of we're kind of a big family here.
All right.
And the culture is something that we protect absolutely. So you have to be able to fit in.
I love that you mentioned culture. Because I didn't realize when I first started my business that that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as employees came on, I learned that if you don't culture your culture, essentially, culture is going to exist of some kind or another.
Yep.
Probably more in the negative if you don't do anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's cool. That's very impressive.
And the culture thing is a, you know, sort of a long-term vision that you need to instill, because it's really easy, particularly when you're growing,
mm-hmm.
To just throw a body at a position.
Definitely.
And it's just short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to, as the leaders of the company, our job is to find the best fit,
mm-hmm.
and my job is to support all the staff here.
Gotcha.
I want them to be happy. I want them to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
If we take care of them, they'll take care of the clients.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, that sounds cool, actually. I wonder, do you find a lot of local talent, or do you have to go and try to get people to move across the country or the world?
Yeah, across the country or the world, exactly.
All right.
That, yeah.
Because I imagine there's only so many technicians that know how to work on a Porsche transmission.
Correct. I mean, we were the very first team that had our hands on the 992s when they rolled into the United States.
Oh.
So we have to have people that have a deep understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because we race, Wisconsin seems like an odd place for a race team that's going all over the United States and Canada, but quite honestly, when you look at where the tracks all are,
mm-hmm.
we're fairly centrally located.
Yeah.
So a lot of our team lives in other parts of the country and just flies to the events.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, even Road America is, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours from here, something
Road America's
like that?
Yeah, Road America is about 2 hours.
Yep. And I imagine Black Hawk Farms, are you guys on there?
We do a little testing there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then do you go to Indianapolis, I imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do. And Sebring, Florida, Laguna, California, Mid-Ohio, Austin, Texas, for sure. All those places are hot, hot, hot now.
Yeah.
We like our weather this time of year, but February, March, and April, we're all south.
All right.
Yeah.
So how many races are you doing in a given year?
Just this past June, we were on track 23 times in the month of June. So it really depends. Last year, COVID had us kind of messed up.
Oh, I bet.
You know, we probably are looking in the neighborhood of 60 track events.
60.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do customers find you? Because I imagine you have customers from all over the country or world.
Yep, all over the country. Yeah, we have customers from all over the world, primarily within the United States. Typically, they go to an event and they see us on podium.
All right. Oh, nice.
So we're national champions year over year.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we have twice as many wins as the number two team.
Wow.
So people who decide that they're going to be very dedicated to the racing typically gravitate towards us because they see us on podium.
All right. And is the reason being because your pit crew is better? Is it because you do better work here? Because I'm just thinking,
yep.
I'm thinking out loud, not necessarily knowing.
Yeah.
But someone comes to you with a Porsche, well, I don't know, some of these look like really dedicated race cars. I'm not even going to spit out a model.
Okay.
Let's just say a Porsche race car with you guys versus a different company.
Yeah.
I feel like a Porsche race car is a Porsche race car.
For sure.
What's the difference that you guys push there?
So the primary difference with us is a couple of things. The first is just fundamentally hard work.
Okay.
When the 992s landed this year,
mm-hmm.
They rolled in trucks here in the middle of the night. We were all hands on deck. Our technicians came in the middle of the night, and we, you know, went through every single inch of those cars to make sure that we have a firm understanding.
Nice.
You know, so we were the very first team to go out and test the cars.
All right.
We spend so much time. And so the hard work sort of leads into number two, which is the data collection.
Mm.
So we are not only constantly and obsessively collecting every single bit of data we possibly can, but then we're putting it into spreadsheets and trying to develop trends and figure things out.
All right.
So our whole job is about, quite honestly, utilization of numbers. Everything that we do lends itself to sort of the way that you think about accounting and understanding, you know, the way that you grow your profit margins for certain is to have a deep understanding of what your numbers are and to go line by line by line by line and determine if there's a way to optimize.
All right.
That's what we do with our cars.
So you can compare. I always joke with my kid. He's into baseball and he's looking at stats and I'm like, that's not sports, that's math.
Yeah.
So look at the back of a baseball card, that's totally math.
It's totally math,
so it's
absolutely.
Interesting, it comes down to the same thing in business
as well.
Comes down
to the same thing, yeah. So we, you know, we work really hard, we compile all the information that we can. You know, you're talking about doing every type of reading that you can on a car in a particular situation, so we're documenting what the air temperature is, what the track temperature is, what the temperatures of the tires are, and on and on and on
All right.
And then we track, just like in business, you execute, you know, you come up with a plan, you execute, you evaluate, you readdress it, and you re-execute over and over and over again. And that's how you develop higher profit margins and happier customers, is to constantly be playing that game with coming up with a game plan, analyzing the data, and then coming back and seeing how that worked.
Gotcha.
And so that's what we do, just fundamentally over and over here.
Nice. So good data in means better data out.
Yep, absolutely.
And faster lap times.
Yep, exactly.
Which I suppose is the end result that you really want.
Yeah.
So when clients, I see a ton of cars here.
Yes.
The majority of cars that we're looking at here, these are race cars that I imagine are stored here when they're not bumming around the track?
Yep, exactly. So our clients... we support them in the way that their cars will come here. We will prepare their cars. We will take our drivers, will meet us at the racetrack.
Okay.
So the car will be there. The car will be prepped. We have data crews. We have engineers. We have logistics teams that help them, you know, making sure that everything about their experience is positive. So that we'll... you know, be getting your golf cart together for you and provide catering and meals. And so it's a, typically our client base are a very particular type of very high-end business owner. And you would think it was the budget and the cost that would be the common denominator that would drive the personality type that would be our client. And it's really the type of person that absolutely does not have an opportunity in their day-to-day life to just be thinking about one thing. There's always 200 things going on in their mind. They've got to think about and manage so much. And when you're on a racetrack, you've got one job.
That's
Just keep it on the track.
Right.
So it allows them to be sort of zen-like.
Sure.
In having one focus that you don't have the luxury of thinking about other things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I get into motorcycles for that same reason, because you can't.
Yeah. It's
just
focus. Yeah, your body understands that it's unsafe to be thinking about other stuff.
Yeah.
And so you're very
focused. No daydreaming.
No,
not if you
none of
live.
That. None of that.
That's interesting. I want to talk about the racetrack stuff.
Yeah.
Specifically with, you got a person, they call you up and they're like, hey, let's run a race.
Yeah.
You bring the rig, the people, the tires, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they go and they have a bad day, run into a wall, run into another car or something like that.
Happens.
I bet all of a sudden their cost just goes way up.
Yes.
So is that expected, or do they have to escrow some money with you guys in case they have a bad day? Or?
You know, we're super blessed in terms of who our client base is.
Gotcha.
For, we don't typically do, you wouldn't call and go, gosh, I'm not sure if I want to go racing or not yet. I'm going to do a race event and see if I like it.
All right.
Because of where we land in terms of our price point, these people have a really firm understanding of the sport.
Gotcha. Okay.
They understand what they're getting into, and they're paying for a next level of education.
Gotcha.
So that sort of weeds out a lot of that.
Sure.
For sure, people have bad days on the track. For certain things don't go as planned. It's one of those scenarios, you know, you don't have the luxury of playing against yourself. You know, you're going to be constantly looking at your lap times and your sector times and such.
Oh, yeah.
That said, someone else making a very bad decision can have an incredibly large effect on you.
Oh, exponential, yeah.
So part of it, too, is the people that are most successful take every single opportunity in life and dissect that for what they can learn from it. How do I get my power back? So if you're driving and someone smashes into you, a natural response from a lot of people is, you know, it wasn't my fault, and that was awful, and it's going to cost me a lot of money. And yep, exactly. And quite honestly, when you get to this caliber of person, their immediate response is, what can I gain from this?
I love that.
What could I do different? Oh. How could I change? No matter how blatant it seems like it's, I mean, why not take back your control?
Right.
When you blame someone, when you're a victim, you give away all your power.
Correct. So, I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Which is probably why they're successful in business. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, you know, some key rules. You never get out of a car. What could look like something that happened, and it can even look blatant to the team, that something happened on track. And we have cameras going in every angle in every car, so you can see from multiple angles. You'll gather the cars around you that where the accident occurred, so you can see things from a ton of different angles. Sometimes it's not what it seems, you know, and we help our drivers understand that even if it feels blatant, your job is to stay calm, wait for the data.
Right.
Make your determination.
Assume nothing,
Yep,
and
exactly.
I guess I like to assume good intentions.
Right.
You don't assume that someone's got ill will towards you.
Right, right.
And I suppose on the racetrack, stuff is happening so fast.
So fast.
That to be able to make a judgment call when you probably weren't even conscious of what happened.
And you can, and you can't see, you know, there's areas that you just can't see what was happening in front of them. And it might look like they dive bombed into you, but they could have been avoiding a tire, you know. So,
interesting.
Yeah. But again, this is the, you know, our clients are businessmen, typically, although we do have a woman driver.
I was just going to say, we include them all.
And I would love more of that. I mean, one of the reasons that I got involved in the Women in Porsche is we need talented staff. We need more people. And there's this whole group of people that we have almost no talent in terms of female technicians. I want to help be part of raising the awareness in terms of this as a career possibility for women. It's incredibly rewarding.
Right.
And it's a whole bunch of fun. It's very different than what you find. And, you know, we're blessed with the ability to, you were talking about working on cars, you know, when you're working on street cars versus working on the championship winning race car.
Right.
When you're done and they're standing on top of the podium and you are part of that, it's a little bit different. So being able to draw women into this is part of, I mean, obviously I'm a woman in a primarily male-dominated industry, so wanting to lend my voice to, you know, let women see this as a possibility.
Right.
As drivers and technicians. And
yeah, you raise a good point about pride in workmanship. I've had, before I started my businesses, I had a lot of different jobs, and it was cool when you'd walk by a place and be like, hey, I was a part of that building or whatever. But when I was a mechanic, I never saw some Toyota Corolla and said, I changed oil on that thing.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of pride in that. Yeah. I never even noticed that until now.
That's funny.
Speaking of just storage and stuff like that, you have a ton of cars and a lot of different variety of cars.
Primarily Porsche, but
But I guess I see, as far as vintages of Porsches, you have some that are decades old and some that look like they may have been built in the past year. So, and some, I'm looking at this one with the big frame on it, or the big...
That's a Safari. It's an off-road.
So it's more of a rally car? Okay, and you guys get into that as well.
Yeah, so my husband is one of the most predominant designers in the industry, so there's been write-ups all over the world about his Safari designs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so what,
you're talking about the actual design of the equipment on the car?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
super cool.
Absolutely, yeah. So, as a matter of fact, he did a design and build on a car that is now owned by Jimmy Graham, who's an NFL tight end. And it was the most photographed Porsche 2 years ago in the world. So,
oh, funny.
Yeah.
How did they figure that out? Huh?
Yeah, right. That's all those behind the scenes computer savvy people that get you that information. So
all right. So when it comes to engines and stuff like that for some of these race cars, I imagine there's a little bit of secret sauce that goes into that.
Not really. I mean, the secret sauce with regard to the actual engines is that when you're running in a particular series and the IMSA, the GT3 Cup cars that we run, all of the work with regard to the engines and the gearboxes go to Porsche Motorsports North America.
Oh.
So they confirm that everything is the same.
Okay.
And it comes back to us. So. That, you know, the cars are supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be on an even playing field when they go out on the track. It's supposed to be about your driver development and that type of thing. So, you know, there are some areas that we can, you know, your car setup and that type of thing where we can lean into our experience to bring to the track. But for the most part, the cars themselves should largely all be the same.
Okay, including chassis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I see about a million tires out here.
Oh my gosh. They're everywhere. We have tires.
I'm always curious because tires are just one of those things with all the cars and motorcycles that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
There's a love-hate relationship between some of the tires that I've had and definitely a love relationship with some of them.
Yeah.
So tell me, how do you guys figure out what tires to go certain tracks and
temperatures? Typically designated by the series.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so they'll be a series sponsor. So particular tires will be, you know, when you're running in this particular event, you're running on those tires.
Sure. Okay. So Michelin says you're getting these tires.
Exactly. Yep.
We're
They're
running these tires.
Sponsoring the deal. This is what we do.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That helps eliminate some of the question.
All right.
Everybody's running on the same tire.
Sure. Interesting. I'm trying to think, what else can you tell me about this project garage that you guys have going on down there?
So the builds that we do in our project division typically run the range of, you know, the lower end is probably going to be about 60,000, and the higher end we've done up to, you know, well over 2 million.
Okay. Well, I imagine once you get in some of the crazy vintage stuff or rare stuff, sky's the limit, I guess, as far as that goes.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Do you have a favorite car that you see here in the shop? On a typical, I guess, either race car or street car?
You know, my husband and I happen to own a fair number of cars.
Okay.
Those typically end up being my favorites.
That's a good thing, right?
Right. So, you know, I'm just an enormous fan of the Porsche brand.
Okay.
For a multitude of reasons. The first being from where they started and where they are now, you've got basically the same car.
Mm.
And you have a brand that has figured out how to, you know, we invest our money and we have a nice solid table with different investment platforms happening personally, but they happen to be a place where you can invest and drive it and go to a car show and go play and go have fun and have it continue to appreciate, which is awesome, right?
That's super
like,
cool.
You know, the mutual fund's not as much fun.
Not even a little.
yeah. So I'm a huge fan of the brand because of that.
All right.
I'm an enormous fan of the brand because as I started to get to know our drivers and become more involved in the people aspect of our racing, I was sitting at home on a Saturday afternoon and I was watching a race and I saw one of our drivers go end over 7 times.
Oh.
And I shut my computer and I said, I'm done. I'm done watching the racing. I can't. This makes me sick.
All right.
And I called the team right away to find out if he was okay. If I would have stayed watching, he popped the door open, hopped out of the car, you know.
Crack a beer and have a good day.
Flipped his car off. Right. And then the team, in their infinite wisdom, sent me the in-car video.
Oh.
And watching the in-car video, it was like a fender bender on the Beltline, right? It was just doo-doom, doo-doom.
Oh.
I mean, those cars are so safe.
Yeah.
He, you know, hit a wall doing 160. He was fine.
Wow.
So I, you know, love the brand for that as
well. All right.
So there's a lot about it that, you know, I'm super thrilled. We race. It's dangerous. Fundamentally, we have no terrible stories.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, really?
No. I mean, we're
in 30 plus years.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow. Exactly. So, that just, you know, it lends to a great deal of confidence.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Does Porsche as a company help you or not hide stuff from you? Because I imagine they have a lot of interest, I imagine, in you guys being successful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if it's something like, hey, they're doing this, whatever, or is it like, hey, by the way, here's
some... It's kind of a synergistic relationship. You know, we will give feedback on what we're seeing and what they're doing, and so that they can work that into the development.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually have some say. Whether they listen or not.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, ultimately, they have all of the say, but we are the largest customer for their racing for what we do. So for sure, they care about what we have to say about what they're producing, particularly when the new cars roll out.
All right, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about the camaraderie between your company, Kelly Moss, and other racing companies. Is it cool when you guys show up in the pits? Or is there some competition where people don't like to talk? Or
No. You know, I think that there's two philosophies, and this is probably as much prevalent as, like, in the safari builds.
Okay.
When you're talking about a client base that is willing to spend $300,000, $400,000, or $500,000 for a Porsche that they can drive off-road,
yeah,
you think that there's this tiny client base, right?
Right.
People that do what we do with integrity,
mm-hmm,
they're absolutely our partners.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely our partners. And there's a whole lot of that happens on the track as well.
Okay.
There's, you know, when we're racing at Road America,
yeah,
there will be teams that roll through here because they need a part or they need a tool.
All right.
Or, you know, I absolutely fundamentally believe that, you know, if you do a good job, mm-hmm, and you treat others well, mm-hmm, the people that are drawn to you will be your client base, and we're not going to be for everyone.
Right.
So we don't ever, you won't hear our team, an earshot that I would ever be aware of, ever badmouth another team.
Gotcha, okay.
None of that is acceptable.
Okay.
Our job is to be the best by standing out and being the best.
Fair.
And if you need to attack someone else's job, we're not doing our job right.
Fair.
You need to be better by being better.
Right.
Not by taking a step backwards. Deep philosophy here. We
nice.
Just don't believe in it.
All right. Now, did you or did your husband start Kelly Moss? Or?
No. Kelly Moss actually started the two brothers, David and Jeff Stone. They resided in Florida.
Okay.
And the original founders brought David over first and then Jeff to help when the cars came into the United States,
mm-hmm,
getting them changed over so they'd be legal here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that it just sort of started as a little bit more of, you know, when you start an LLC for your hobby type, mm-hmm, of scenario.
Sure.
And even when I came on board 10 years ago,
mm-hmm,
largely what happened is we'd go racing, the shop would shut down.
Oh, really?
The team would go racing, and then they'd come back and fix the cars. So the way, you know, diversification is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked really hard to diversify away from that model because, mm-hmm, it was just dangerous, you know, based on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all the same type of client.
Yeah.
So we worked very hard to grow the project division.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see now with 120 high-end builds,
there's
we've
a
done
lot going
a really,
on.
Yeah, we've done a really good job with that. I thought that I had very successfully diversified the company.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different client base with the project builds.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit. And it didn't matter that, you know, there was a very different client base, our racers from our project builds.
Sure.
When we couldn't get in the building or we couldn't go on the racetrack.
Oh.
Couldn't
get in the building.
Like, we weren't
Everybody
allowed
to work
open.
From home,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my response to that was to develop our driver academy.
I was going to ask you, perfect segue, right?
Perfect segue. So our driver academy is a series of 70 classes that you do online where you take your off-track time to become as absolutely efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So learning your lines, understanding how you're supposed to be driving each corner, understanding how tire pressures work.
Yeah.
You know, 70 different lessons so that when you actually do go to the track,
mm-hmm,
instead of having that track time be your education,
mm-hmm,
you're honing a particular skill
right
while you're at the track, so you're far more focused,
mm-hmm,
and far more successful.
Gotcha. You have some back knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, there are some of our drivers that struggle with, you know, there's a pretty big expense in, mm-hmm, going racing, and there's also a big chunk of time away from your family.
Sure.
So this sort of eliminates both of those. If you're more efficient when you're on track and you're studying the track at home, you have more time at home, you're not having the crashing. So we go through simulator training and all of that type of stuff in our academy. So we just launched the Driver's Academy 2 weeks ago, and it could not possibly have been more successful.
So, that's incredible.
Yeah, diversification, truly, now.
And that's something I imagine once you set it up, then you can just keep feeding people in there.
Yep, exactly.
That's genius.
So our goal is to take 50 people through the Driver Academy and make it as perfect as possible, getting tons of feedback. You know, we launched the Driver Academy probably half the price that will actually be our end selling price. Because the expectation is their job is to give us a lot of good feedback, help us make the perfect product, and then put it out to the masses.
All right, that's very cool.
Yeah.
And who was doing the Driver Academy? It was you, and then
Alec Udell, who's one of our Alec Udell's a professional race car driver. He's an engineer, and he's also one of our driver coaches.
Okay.
So when we take people to the track, we have Andrew Davis and Jerome Bleekmolen, and we have the best professional drivers come and help them understand. They'll throw down what's called a datum lap, where a professional driver will take your car around track, and it'll show you what lines you should be taking, where you should be braking. So now you've got your optimal, like a budget, right?
Yeah.
Now you've got your optimal, and your job is to replicate.
All right.
So it's part of our training process.
Yeah.
And so Alec is one of our driver coaches.
Okay.
And he and I felt very much the same way. Hey, we need to diversify. Let's work together. So when push comes to shove, I'm an accountant. And I don't know how to drive around the track. They laugh. We took the whole team to a go-kart track, and I was getting lapped. Yeah,
lapped on the go-kart track? Oh, no.
It was just humiliating. So I am not the one you want teaching driver classes. So,
fair, but I imagine over time, right? You take the class.
I've learned a lot. But then we have, we have access to 90 amazing people here with decades and decades and decades of experience, and we were able to draw on all of that to produce a product. There's a lot of people that would love to be affiliated with Kelly Moss in terms of the racing, but they don't have an extra $500,000.
Right.
So this is an opportunity to tap our expertise on at any price point.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So I imagine it can be for fun, just to say, hey, I did this, and also for I'm intending to do this, but I want a good foundation.
Yep, exactly.
So this is where we get started.
Yep, great for people that are just doing track days and starting starting to dabble in the racing.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. You can totally tell me you don't want to answer this.
Okay.
But when you, I'm imagining some scenario, and I don't know if it happens or not. Let's just say you got some person, they made some money with their business, they say they want to race, and they're terrible at it. Right? They're still cool spending the money, but at some point you're going to be like, this isn't fun for us. We're just watching this guy crash.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of that is truly when you start to teach the fundamentals, if people are putting in the time, if you're actually doing the learning, you're going to improve.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we work very hard to provide them all of the tools. So typically we don't have problems with people just stagnating and not being fun.
Sure.
For sure it's really fun when we are winning all of the time. It's more fun, it's more fun than, but our goal, if somebody is sitting at the middle of the pack and it's, not as much fun for them, and quite honestly, ultimately, there's a whole bunch of people that are never intend to get on the podium.
Okay.
They're just wanting to get out on that track and have fun.
Have some fun.
It's great in terms of under the tent. There's a lot of joking and laughing and stories, and it's kind of, for the moment, it's a little bit of guy time and, smoking cigars after the race and, So there's just a lot of boxes that it checks.
Okay. Fair.
But we really don't struggle with saying, oh, they're just not very good. I don't think they'll ever get
there. I guess there's part of it's the whole pride in your work, but there's also you guys have maintained a reputation. Oh, you guys are in the bottom again of that guy.
Well, and I think that because we are really good at what we do, you're going to be elevated along the way.
All right. Fair. Totally fair. there's just so much going on here. I don't even know what to ask you for questions more. I keep hearing, like, what is that car? That's sounding. Do you, I also see a little Volkswagen here, the GTI, though.
So we also, within our shop, we have a graphics department. So some of the stuff, people will come in and have graphics done.
So doing this vinyl and all that? Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. So everything that we do, we try to do in-house. We have a carbon fiber shop. We have an engine shop. We have multiple body shops.
All
and so when it leaves our care and custody is when it gets a little dangerous in terms of managing the timetable and customer expectations.
Oh, okay.
So we try to have everything in-house. We have a whole our interior department.
Mm-hmm.
So we do custom seats and custom dashes.
You're doing upholstery.
Mm-hmm. We do all of that here.
Engines, upholstery, a carbon fiber department is something that I just imagined had to be a specific
business. We do all of it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And all of it right here so that we can have quality control.
All right. I want to talk to you about this building.
Yeah.
Because I used to deliver beer out of this building.
Yeah, H&M Distributing.
Way long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, long time ago. And you guys, I remember you were in a spot that was probably a 20th of the size
right,
or something
exactly.
like that.
Yep.
And then you moved into this place, and I remember thinking, holy cow, that's a huge, huge, huge building.
Yeah.
Which is super cool, because I imagine I like cars better than beer, so maybe I'm an anomaly in Wisconsin. But at any rate, when you were you with them when they
just
changed?
After they moved.
Okay,
yep.
just after.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Got it. So you got to look at the numbers and all that kind of stuff to
see
how that made sense. Was it tough when they first came in and had all that extra space?
Or did so originally we had that whole project garage area was sublet to a team.
Oh, to a team.
To a team, yeah.
Wow.
So
okay.
a team that, so originally we ran the team and then the gentleman that owned it like hired and had his own separate team.
Wow.
So that was all there when they left is when it became scary because the area was landlocked. They had been, we had been rent sharing and utility sharing.
Yeah.
And then it was landlocked and we did a bunch of research and we went and looked at, you know, the cost of relocating the business and
Again.
All of that. Yeah, right. and now we were much bigger and, you know, with the body shops and all of that. And when we crunched the numbers, when push came to shove, we said the only choice we have is to grow into the space.
All right.
And we were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? This is so overwhelming. And I'm not kidding. 9 months later, we were like, crap, we're out of space.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. I mean, once you, I believe so much in mindset.
Yeah.
Once we made that determination that that was the route we were going to take, it was no holds barred.
Nice. So in the case of that, did you have to bump up marketing or anything? Or how did you?
We've never, I mean, we've never paid for marketing ever as
ever.
A company. Yeah.
Wow.
There are times that we'll do track sponsorships where the track will ask us if we're sponsoring an event and that type of thing. We will do that type of thing to support the track or support a charity or that type of thing. But we do not advertise.
No billboard, no radio ad,
not
Yellow Pages ad. I don't know.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Remember those days?
Remember?
Awful. Awful. We are really blessed in that. What we do, you know, our marketing efforts were when we decided to grow the project division and, you know, like, for example, the Safari build, some of that stuff used to happen behind closed doors and the owner would get their car and go, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, social media, like we need to get that out there and notify publications, you know, Road and Track and all of that and just say, hey, this is what we're doing. So all of a sudden, the eyes of the nation were on us,
and
then again, the eyes of the world.
Gotcha.
So all it was leaning into being more forward with showing the world what we were doing.
So getting the right people to see you guys rather than just putting it out to the world as a whole. Interesting. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It was and remains a fun project.
Yeah.
But when I started, we didn't have a website.
At all.
At all.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no website at
wow,
all.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, no social media presence.
All right.
So a lot of it was just, hey, we do this really cool stuff. Let's let the world
trust
know.
Trust us, just call me. Did you have an email address?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Well,
you know, but it was like at gmail.com, you know. Yeah,
so people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars with you and sending something at Gmail or Yahoo or whatever.
For sure. But again, I don't believe that there is anyone that has been taking the Porsche race cars onto the track with the Gentleman's Driver program in the United States longer than Kelly Moss. So all we right. have that.
Gotcha. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. No, it's tough for me to tell you that you were doing it wrong when.
Well.
You have the success to be like. Mm.
You know, I think that part of an entrepreneurial struggle, in my experience, is you want to get from here to here, and you want the fastest trajectory. But it's the struggles and the learning and the if you went from here to here, you'd fail.
Right.
You have to go all the way through the journey to be ready for the success.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden somebody would have gone, bam, you're doing 15 million in sales back then, we would have failed. We
right.
would have let somebody down.
Sure.
You know, we haven't let anybody down. We haven't not delivered a car when we're supposed to. We haven't had a car not be able to make it on track when it's supposed to. And it's because we had all those pains and struggles along the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a perfect segue again. What have been some of your biggest challenges since you've been with them?
Well, for sure, right now, it's production.
Okay.
I mean, if you want a safari build, you're talking about a 3+ year wait to get an RQ.
3+ year?
Yeah.
Wow. And is that due to employees, design, time, space?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And, you know, part of it is when we're doing something, and so much of what we do is something that no one's ever done before.
Okay.
And when you're doing something no one's ever done before, you're talking about hand fabricating solutions. And so getting into a position where we can capitalize on some of the ways to replicate things that we're doing over and over again, instead of one brilliant fabricator spending 240 hours coming up with a solution. So, you know, for sure we're out of space.
All right.
For sure we are always looking for great talent that fits in with this culture.
Right.
And so we are constantly struggling with that. We're constantly struggling with once you achieve the expectation of greatness, your job is to never be anything short of great.
Oh, I love that.
So
that's perfect.
That's the type of stuff that can keep you up at night.
Gotcha.
You know, especially when you're in a scenario where you're talking about taking cars on a track. Stuff completely outside of our control can make you have a bad day.
Oh, totally.
So we work very hard. All of us work very hard. Our job is to provide an experience for our drivers. Our job is to provide, some amazing, joyous experience for people that we're delivering their build to.
Yeah.
Our job is to be excellent always.
Gotcha. So how are there plans to expand for you guys, either building or people or?
There's going to be changes that will be happening. So these truck bays can roll 4 rigs through.
Okay.
Certainly very soon. What's going to happen is one rig will be able to pull in and back out, and we need to change this whole area to have hoists and productivity.
Got it. Okay. So something similar to what you have over here.
Yep, exactly.
Just come over here. Okay.
And in addition, we are going to need to be managing production in terms of being able to manufacture and create, besides an artisan creating and fabricating every piece. So that's going to be working with the production component.
Gotcha. All right. I want to ask you about that because segue here again, right? You're good at this. When it comes to the off-road stuff, I see that's custom. But once it's built for that car, can you then produce it for that same car for the people? Is it more proprietary than that?
You know what? We can then produce something similar. And we have tested it conceptually, and we've tested it in practice, so we know what does work and what doesn't work. So round number two with the skid plate design is going to be half the time.
Right.
You know, so that type of thing. So, you know, for sure there's a lot of R&D that happens with a lot of stuff that we do.
Oh, I bet.
But once you, you know, once you do the heavy lifting and push that rock up the hill, it's just easier every time.
Then it's all set, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I guess,
so,
I don't know.
You know, those cars are older, like you were alluding to. Everyone's going to have its own unique challenges, but but the general concept, you know, the 80% is there.
Gotcha. Now, cars as a whole seem to be evolving with electric or hybrid and all that kind of stuff. So in 10, 20 years, do you have any idea what racing will be like? Will that be, or do you expect it to be different?
Well, I guess two things. One, the only hybrid Porsche in the world was designed by my husband and is in this building.
Oh, so, nice.
You know, we're going to lead into technology.
All right. Got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. It's there. We compete in Pikes Peak.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Nice. And, you know, you're seeing more and more electric cars that are running that scenario. So for sure, and as with everything, we are going to absolutely lead into the changes. Our job is to learn everything that we can, do the hard work, and be the best.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah, but that you're right. Cool. It's headed that way for sure.
It's interesting. I know, I want to say Audi had something with electric and electric diesel, and then with F1 cars, they got stuff going on. I'm trying to think of the racing series that has certain areas of the track that they can use more electric power as kind of a boost.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know.
I have to apologize.
I'm sorry, I'm the accountant.
That's fair. I have a buddy that was telling me about it to try to keep the group closer together on the track. So if you're lagging behind, you can use more power than if you're in the front.
Really?
To try to keep it not a parade.
Yeah, so, right? That's interesting.
At any rate, yeah, I guess with more computers and stuff like that, it's
they'll be evolving. Less,
less racing-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know. At any rate, this is super cool.
Well, thank
you. I appreciate you having us out here.
Yeah, very glad to host you.
So, this has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Victoria, how can people find you guys? I'm assuming you have a website now.
We have a website now. You can find us at kellymoss.com.
And then tell us about how they can find the driver training.
So for the Driver Academy, if you just go to our website, again, kellymoss.com, you'll find there a tab that says Driver Academy, and you can join our race team.
Awesome. My name is James Kademan. I got to forget. I'm so like, oh my gosh, this is like falling in love 5 million times here. Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering services for service businesses across the country, as well as Draughton Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth. And of course, the Bold Business Book, Book for the Entrepreneur in All of Us. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners and our viewers. If you could do me and Victoria a huge favor, give us a thumbs up, subscribe, share, and of course, send a copy of this to all your friends that love cars and of course, love business. My name is James Kademan. Victoria, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
This is awesome. Enjoy the rest of the podcast that we have going on here. And of course, if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.